I will work day in and day out, wake up and smell the coffee.
I want to return to the European Union.
Another future's possible, but we've got to fight for it.
Order. Hello and welcome to the Debated podcast. As always, I'm your host, Will. And in this episode, I'm delighted to be joined by George Baldock, a member of the Labour Party, running to be the next disability officer for Young Labour, who has an experience of pupil referral units, which we're going to be discussing in the podcast, as well as broader educational policy. Welcome to the podcast, George.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to getting into the discussion.
Yes, absolutely. So the first question that I'd like to ask is, could you tell us a bit about how you became aware of pupil referral units and what your experience of them was?
Well, it was very difficult for me not to become aware, because I found myself in one at the age of 12, and I stuck there throughout all of my secondary education. I'd had a very miserable time in the first few months of secondary education. I couldn't manage it. I suffered then and still do with anxiety and depression that made that totally impossible to stick with. So I ended up in a pupil referral unit. And for me, I mean, that transformed my life. You know, it was a fantastic thing. But even then, even as a student, I couldn't escape the fact they have a terrible reputation. They have little funding. At Milton Keynes Council does a fantastic job with them, as I'm sure we'll get onto later, but in general, they have no funding. And, you know, they are not supported the way they need to be. So I noticed that as a student. Since I've left, it's something I've remained very passionate about, and done lots of research into, and recently got some unexpected media focus on that as well. So it seems there, you know, every day for the last couple of months, it has been in my head on pupil referral units and what support they really do need, because they don't have enough. And I'm excited at any opportunity I get to talk about them.
Mm-hmm. And you just mentioned the perception that many people, perhaps particularly in the media, have towards them. Why do you think that there is this perhaps negative perception, and where do you think it comes from?
Well, I think that negative perception is just, it's rife in the media. It's just, and I think also in the general, you know, it's not a media thing. Obviously, people get their views often from what the media spits out, but it's the common view that it's full of people who are just too naughty, just can't do it, don't know how to behave. All of that is generally bunk. It's rubbish. That, you know, nobody has a passion, has a great calling for chucking things out of windows, setting things on fire. It's generally can be linked back to something in their home life or in their early childhood that needs more fundamental addressing. So I think the reputation is terrible. It's based on that. It's based on the fact we never really hear success stories from them. I said on a few times in interviews I've done previously that it feels very much like the perception of a pupil referral unit student tends to be frozen, and we run with what we see sending there. But the people that leave are very different. They almost always have been improved, because the staff in these places are tremendous. They have a laser focus on long-term, what you can do to not just sort of get the employment, get qualifications, but to be able to cope with whatever got you into the situation. So they do tremendous work. People don't see it. The media, particularly at the minute, has been very sort of bashing and relentless against SEND students. And it is a tremendous shame, I think, but an inescapable one. And you have to, I think more needs to be done to reverse the feeling against them, which is just all too pervasive.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In terms of the way that different political parties approach them, and more broadly, the way that they approach provisions in regards to education for SEND students more generally, what do you think the different parties are offering at the moment? Do you think that they're offering much of the same thing? Is there much divergence in terms of what kind of support they may be offering in terms of manifestos and commitments? Or do you think that it's sort of a broadly the same offer from the main parties?
Well, I think, I'm, as you mentioned at the start of the program, I'm a Labour Party member, and I'm an internal candidate in a Labour Party election. So it will be no surprise that I'm not going to be glowing of the last 14 years of government, but I do believe it has been totally inadequate, and the offer from the Conservatives is barely changed. I mean, they've just put out now, really, well, about a year ago, they're sort of starting to implement what they call the Delivering Better Value in SEND program. I mean, it's awful. It's much more focused on reducing the numbers, and that's not the right approach. When, I mean, in the shadow of COVID, we've got a ballooning of long-term mental health problems, students who cannot cope in mainstream schools. Now is not the time to be getting the numbers down. Calling the program Delivering Better Value is also sort of symptomatic of the issue we've got, which is the price and the cost of SEND provision, which is a big sort of political football at the minute. You had Robert Colville get a lot of trouble on Twitter because he made an outrageous comment about this, the sort of golden ticket theory that goes about that once a child gets an education healthcare plan or whatever their local council offers, you know, they get whatever they want. You know, it's a ticket to whatever. It clearly is untrue. Any SEND experienced person or parent will tell you it's not true. But it seems to be a really ingrained myth, and it's becoming a problem now that local authorities are so cash-strapped, thanks to the government being useless, that SEND students are becoming the scapegoat for it. It's really worrying. So the Tories are out in terms of SEND provision. With Labour, I preface this by saying it will be better for SEND students under a Labour government. I have no doubt. Even if you look back now at what Ed Balls was putting out as schools minister in 2009, it seems way above what we're offering now as a Conservative in the Conservative government. But I also think Labour has a way to go. I mean, Bridget Phillipson, who will be a fantastic education secretary, made a dubious comment, I think, about school attendance and those who refuse school. Well-meaning, sort of saying that you know, parent is the parent's responsibility, and school attendance has to just be squashed down, which is true in a lot of cases. But equally, you know, if they're not attending school because of deep-seated issues with their mental health or the experience at school, or even if, you know, it's quite difficult for SEND parents will again attest, it's actually quite difficult to get people into school if they really don't want to go. I think it was wrong to put the onus on that on parents, and slightly short-sighted. I mean, she will be fantastic. Labour will do a better job, but there is still it feels like a gulf of understanding towards pupil referral units. As far as I know, there is no well sort of documented or proper plan for SEND yet, and we are still probably nearly a year away from the election. So that's not a huge concern, but Labour has to take it seriously, and it's very easy to say the Tories have failed because they demonstrably have, but actually Labour-run councils don't always do better. You look in Oxford, the Labour group monstrously, in my view, pulled out of the coalition in a sort of political dance to try and avoid blame for what were widespread SEND failings over there. I mean, I've read the reports, and it brings you to tears. They're terrible stories. And for the Labour Party over there to make points and withdraw, I thought was awful. In Milton Keynes, we've got a Labour-led council that does a very good job. So it depends very much on how much stock the parties in local governments and in Westminster put on it. But I think, while I do believe Labour will do a hell of a lot better, I'm not sure they're quite ready. They're not. Understandably, it's not at the top of the priorities right now, but it needs to be looked at. And on the Liberal Democrats, I mean, I don't know any of their policies on anything. I joined most of the country with that, so I don't think they've really got much there.
Mm-hmm. Regarding Bridget Phillipson, if you were to speak to her now and give examples of the kind of policies you think should be in Labour's next manifesto related to SEND pupils, pupil referral units, etc., the kind of things that you'd like to see her implement if she was to become education secretary, what kind of policies would you say that these are the things that you really need to do?
Well, If I mean, I do this in every conversation that I have, but if I can take it back to Milton Keynes for a second, we have a council leader who is committed and very focused on it. I'm sure he won't mind this anecdote being shared, but as a Labour member, I went to the sort of Christmas social thing that all constituency parties do. And he gave a short speech, our council leader. And he said in it, during the course of it, unexpectedly turned sort of in my direction and said, in the context of special needs spending, that my story should be normal. It should be the expectation. It should be that all SEND students, PLU students, should have the opportunity to get the help they are legally entitled to and fulfill whatever they want to do after. So I think, that is important, to be focused, to have an active focus on this sector is important. And, there's a lot to be said about empty rhetoric. But actually, when the perception is so bad for pupil friendliness as it is now, empty rhetoric would be quite nice. Just a sort of acknowledgement that people in pupil referral units can do so well with the support. It's not the end of an educational journey if you're sent there. It's the start of mine. I'm tremendously lucky to have had it. So it would be nice if the shadow education secretary, who will go on to be fantastic education secretary, would speak up for pupil referral units. In terms of policy, I think we've got to accept, this heavily comes down to what policy you approach for local government. Local governments need more money. In some cases, there are councils that have a genuinely almost malicious approach to this. But actually, a lot of the time, what students are entitled to is being held back, not because the council has some weird vendetta against vulnerable children, but because it's really taxing financially. And so education healthcare plans are being challenged in court by local authorities. That's expensive and lengthy, but it's desperation because there's no money there. I think that has to be up on the priority. Up on the priority list, a lot of the SEND provisions are provided by local authorities rather than a national scheme. But I think a national focus would be good. Accepting that there are always going to be students where early intervention fails. Early intervention is important, but you also need to get in there and accept on occasion it doesn't work, and we need to have a proper, sustainable solution for those who mainstream education doesn't work for. It never worked for me. At the time I needed it, it never would have worked. So we need to be able, pupil referral units have their place in that sense, and they need to work well with mainstream education. The other things, you affect the whole, one of Labour's policies at the moment is a mental health practitioner in every school. I was pleased to see, actually, the only time I'll praise the Liberal Democrats ever, but they put that forward on one of the opposition days recently. They put that forward as their motion. That is a really important policy, and I'm glad that's being pursued, because for SEND education to work, you also need a strong and resilient and effective system in place in mainstream education for those with SEND difficulties. Not all students with educational challenges will need to attend alternate provisional centres. Not all of them will need extensive or constant monitoring or whatever. Most will be able to get on absolutely fine with minimal support. But you need to ensure that minimal support is still there. A lot of the time, it doesn't feel like it is at the minute. So we have a system where everything gets to breaking point before anything is done, and that's not healthy for the students, for the parents, for the schools, for the local authorities, for anyone. That's a terrible system. I think putting a lot more focus on this as a section of the Department of Education would be really, really helpful.
Absolutely. In terms of thinking about broader education policy, what do you think we need to do to improve the educational experiences of children overall? Is it a case of simply more funding? Is there a particular policy that you think needs to be implemented that would impact the experience of children overall? What do you think?
So I will always bang the drum personally for vocational qualifications. It's not a route I took. I've told this story loads, but when I applied after leaving a pupil referral unit, I sent off two applications, one to the local sixth form to do A-levels, which is the one I took, but the other was to go to a college and do a floristry course. And I think that sort of thing is important. Academically rigorous study will just not be for everyone. So I think, and this, from what I can gather, does seem to be something the Labour Party is very interested in doing, is ensuring there is vocational, technical, and challenging opportunities if you want to pursue that. So the BTECs are sort of in trouble at the minute. The T-levels were dead on arrival. But we need a sustainable option that actually leads. I mean, we this would help, I think, the whole economy, where we have a skills problem. We must do more for vocational education, particularly in, I mean, I know this question was for the whole education system. It applies everywhere. But actually, in people with frail unions, a particular skill or a particular trade is such a powerful way to get people out of what could be sort of a bit of a rut. That's so important across all of education. I think it will be a good thing for the next Labour government to focus on. I think they will. I think we're at the point now where both parties are agreeing that the A-level probably needs to be ripped up. So that will presumably happen in the next decade. It'll take ages because everything does. But I hope when it is sort of replaced, it puts much more focus and scope for vocational, practical qualifications for people who want to go into skilled trades that Britain used to be so good at.
In terms of looking at education for particularly younger children, there was a bit of a kerfuffle in the House of Commons over Labour's policy related to brushing teeth for the under fives. Andrea Leadsom made a rather interesting comment about when. Thinking of that and thinking more broadly about the kind of education that we provide for younger children. Is there something in terms of the way that education should be developed for younger children that you think needs to be changed, particularly given that education at a young age is so important? And obviously there can be differences even at a young age in the way that a child learns and the way that they engage with information and engage with particular subjects.
Well, I'll resist the urge to make some sort of lesson-style joke about once a child is in school for 3 years, they've actually been there for 10. What a remarkable comment. But, on the teeth-brushing thing, Wes Streeting went out on the media rounds and got it exactly right. He said, well, what do you want to say to children? Because your parents weren't up for it, you have no teeth. Ideally, that should be the responsibility of the parents, but for often very valid reasons, a lot of parents have other, you know, it slips under the radar. So actually, I think it is right that the government steps in on that. And it's also, I mean, there's all this talk about it being a nanny state. I remember when I was 3 or 4 in 2009, in my very first year of primary school, having some sort of supervised toothbrushing thing. I remember a dentist being there. So this isn't new. This is just going back to the policies of New Labour that worked. And I think it is part of a broader thing where, you know, primary schools are really important for getting basic life values into students. We talk about the British values, and one of them is rule of law, which, you know, I'm not saying anything about, but, you know, primary schools are a fantastic opportunity to teach life. Healthy eating is a very big focus in primary schools at the minute. That's exactly right. I'm not an education policy expert, but I would imagine it's the case that if you teach it to a child, it sticks repeatedly if you do it over and over. So I think we have to, the primary purpose of a teacher is to teach, but teaching is much broader than what you are learning in textbooks. And also when you're 6, I would strongly suggest what we're doing in history of geography, very interesting, but probably slightly less important than ensuring your teeth work for the next 60, 70 years. So in those early years of primary, I think actually it's right that we have a very broad approach and work on, you know, stuff that is beyond academics. Obviously, everyone must be able to read, write, spell, count. But also, you know, learning how to socialize with other kids, how to keep yourself clean, how to eat healthily, actually, I think is really important. And it's not at all nanny state nonsense that you see people whinging about it being.
Absolutely. Of course, we've mentioned that this year, likely, there will at some point be a general election. And just thinking about the Labour Party's manifesto, if you had to pick three policies not related to education that you would particularly like to see in the manifesto, what three policies would you most like to see in it?
Well, that is an evil question. Because my first three were something on pupil referral units, something to do with the tax on private schools, but all of those are, of course, related to education. I think it's very important we get some. I mean, votes at 16 is currently policy. I'm glad it is. I hope it makes it onto the manifesto. Some more electoral reforms I think would be helpful. I am uncommitted on what I think of proportional representation, but it's clear that the first-past-the-post system is not working. So I think that's good. The Labour Party has a job now, I think, to rebuild trust a little bit in democracy. I think now is the best time to do it if we're going to. But also I think we need policy that is just on people's lives really, really matters. So any policy, and this is a bit of a cough-out, but any policy that puts, you know, in a cost of living crisis, puts more money back into families' pockets, allows them to sort of get over what has been a terrible few years financially, rebuild the nation that is still reeling in shock after COVID. Labour has my vote almost no matter what they pull out. I mean, I don't think Starmer's going to commit to anything too ridiculous, which is good. Yes, a bit of a cop-out, but any policy that I think makes a tangible difference to people's lives, as all of the Labour policies we're hearing about seem to, even small things like brushing of teeth or VAT on private school fees. You know, they're not going to affect most of us, but they are actually going to add up and bring a lot, I think. Help this country feel a bit better again, because it's miserable at the minute. I can't wait for the election.
Well, it may be a bit of a cop-out, but I'll allow it.
Thank you. You're very kind.
We're coming towards the end of the podcast, George, and thank you for taking the time to speak to me. But I do have one final question for you. Obviously, we've just discussed the election, the manifesto. There'll be several different elections across the world. This year is going to be a very exciting time for people involved in politics. But if you had to pick one thing that you were looking forward to this year that wasn't related to politics, what are you most looking forward to in this new year of 2024?
That's a difficult question. I'm just starting my first year of university, and I'm looking forward to finding my feet here a bit, I think. But also, I'm in this. I've given you. I gave you a terrible answer for the last question, so I'll give you two for this one. On pupil referral unit, I've got a lot of opportunities to talk about it coming up. I'm speaking at a teaching course later this month. I'm getting in touch with charities in Cambridgeshire, Peterborough, about that. So I am incredibly excited to keep talking about pupil referral units, and I hope that I stop. You know, I love this topic. I love pupil referral units. I hope I stop needing to talk about it in 10 years, because we've all realized how important they do. They've taken off. They do such good work. But that's what I'm excited in 2024. To basically keep doing what I did in 2023, but also try and help this cause as much as I can. After I got a fantastic opportunity last year to talk about it, to keep it up and do everything I can to give back after I had such a fantastic experience in them myself.
Well, that's a fantastic answer to my question. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast, George. If people want to find out more about you, follow the sorts of things that you're getting up to, where should they go to find out more about you?
Well, my Twitter is a good one. That's at @IamGBaldock. I tweet a lot about SEND policy. You can read my commitments if you're a Labour Party member and want to back me. I probably shouldn't plug myself here, but I will. Equally, I tweet a lot about Milton Keynes. So if that's what you love, as you should, it's the best city in the country, follow me there. I think that is the best place, but also my email is floating about somewhere on there, so go there. I'm always happy to get in contact with people if you want to talk to me about my experience and think there is a way that I could help with it, or if you want to talks for any purpose about that. I love talking about people referral units. I'm not going to stop doing it if I keep getting the opportunities to. So I feel free to follow me on there, message me, and keep up with the increasingly difficult world of SEND and the wonderful world of Milton Keynes and internal local politics stuff, which I'm sure appeals to maybe two people listening, perhaps.
I'm sure it will appeal to more than two people listening. Thank you once again for coming on, George.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely to speak to you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast. If you've enjoyed it, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, Podbeam, and Amazon Music. You can also follow us on Twitter, @DebatedPodcast, like us on Facebook, Debated Podcast, and if you'd like to get in touch with us, whether about appearing on an episode of the podcast or commenting on an episode that you've listened to, you can do so at thedebatedpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. I hope you listen to the next one.